God bless you and welcome to Radio Plus, dear listeners. We are again together with Brother Joseph at one of our live programs. Hello, Joseph.
Hello. The Lord bless you.
How are you today?
Fine. Praising the Lord. What about you?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
There are, you can praise the Lord when it's good weather, when it's bad weather. Today is good weather. It's usually good weather here. Yeah, we are very blessed.
Praise it's true. I'd like to ask you some things about the events that are going on in different countries of the world. We heard lately that there is an increasing of unlawful persecutions happening against Christians in many countries. For example, in the USA, they use different ways to persecute anything that sounds Christian. We received a message from a dear sister, and between other things, she's saying that I am not allowed to talk about Jesus or my sanity is questioned. I have had a horrible psychological reputation. Anyone disagreeing with chipping is being deemed mentally ill if they talk about the advanced technology. Now, we have heard also in England there are Christians who are losing their job just because they talk about Jesus, or there are nurses who, because they witnessed, they evangelized a patient in bed who was suffering, they lost their job as well. Now, Brother Joseph, which is the way that we can defend ourselves against such things, which it's not fair?
Well, Jesus, you have to go to the Bible, to the Word. You have to realize that we are like, all over the Bible, you see God's people. They were either in Sodom, that was Lot, was like Abraham. Everywhere he went, he met bad people, strange people. Joseph, he was sold into slavery, etc. Mm-hmm. Jesus was surrounded by opposition all the time. The disciples, the apostles, always encountered the opposition. The early church, the true church, for 300 years, opposition, they were killed off and on. And all through the centuries, Wycliffe, Tyndale, Luther, John Knox, all the people of God, they wanted to just raise their head for Jesus Christ above the average sleepy religion of all ages, of all eras. They always got maligned, persecuted, imprisoned, character assassinated, and even killed. And today is the same. There is a mass religiosity in the world. Okay, and just like when Jesus came, everybody was sitting in the synagogue reading the law of Moses. Okay, that's the average religion.
So,
and then there are some pastors, some little churches who do something for Jesus, you understand?
So you mean it's normal to suffer for Christ?
Well, if you don't suffer for Christ, like it says in 2 Timothy 3:12, it's not normal. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's a prophecy. It's not maybe, it's a for sure.
So then it's biblical and that's it. We just have to bear it.
Not bear it passively. We have to accept that it's going to be a position. However, we must make sure that we don't just go to sleep in the mud. We don't get used to the garbage. We don't just get used to the devil doing everything and we do nothing. Because if our only reaction to what the devil is doing is just go and sing Christian songs Sunday morning, that's for sure it's not going to stop the devil. The Pharisees in the synagogues and all the preaching in the synagogues didn't stop the devil. It had to come Jesus and the disciple and the early church to stop the devil.
Mm-hmm.
At the price of the blood and the death. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to fight. We need to see what God wants me to do and do it. Maybe it will be a little bit. Maybe it will not be very much. I cannot change the world, but I can change my world, my life. Work on changing the world of my family, changing the world around me. All the neighbors should know that I am a Christian and active. Understand?
So, for example, this sister in the States, that she says, it's very lawful to be a Christian in the States, but if she opens her mouth and talks about Jesus, she is considered mentally ill. What is she supposed to do? It's like kind of an indirect persecution.
Well, Jesus was considered a demon possessed. What did he do? He continued until they killed him. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to keep going. You are supposed to keep fighting. You're
mm-hmm.
supposed to, whatever you do, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Whatever you do, don't close your mouth. Don't let the devil shut your mouth. Keep proclaiming the truth.
Well, you have to pay a high price to be a Christian in our days.
Yeah, definitely. It's like If you want to be like a lukewarm Christian, then all you have to do is nothing. But if you want Jesus to be proud of you, happy of you, blessing you for eternity, but not just for the rewards. We are not mercenaries. We don't serve the Lord so we can get something in heaven. Oh, what are you going to get? Heavenly money? Ridiculous. We do it for the love of God because we love Jesus. Jesus didn't go there on the cross so he could get something in heaven, but because he loves us. See, love is the motivating in heaven. So right now, see, the devil is infiltrating and smuggling into the Western world things such as the sodomite doctrines, including into schools and kindergarten.
Yes, true.
Well, it's like they're not happy just with infiltrating, polluting the mind through evolution. Now they're polluting their hearts through homosexuality. See, evolution is a stupidity of the mind, but homosexuality is a sin of the heart. If you like homosexuality, then you already committed it in your heart. So it turns out that we hear reports from brethren in Switzerland, in Italy, Europe, Germany, United States, they are teaching homosexuality to the children.
Already in the kindergartens.
Kindergarten.
And they are receiving this kind of materials to teach them sexual education and homosexuality and encouraging little boys to touch each other so they can get used to it.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Boys with boys.
Yes.
It's terrible. Like, you see, preparing the world for the mark of the beast is like we cannot be like Lot in Sodom, putting up with the evil. We need to get out like Abraham. So whatever it takes. See, I've been going from country to country just to protect my children. Okay, when I see that the devil get too close to my children, they have to belong to the States, not to me, and then, first of all, to God. Then I take off, I leave, I change. I moved around. You know, I always had campers, caravan, this and that. I usually live in houses. Okay, I usually take a house. We usually stay a few years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we drive around all the time. We couldn't get anything done. But it's like our mobility is ready.
Yes.
Ready, you know how you've been with us for how many years now?
12.
Okay, you know how we do.
Yes.
When there is whatever kind of persecution the devil decides to rise up, we just take off. We just move. You know that very well. We've changed so many countries, right?
Yeah, keep evangelizing. Keep going.
Okay. Just in the last couple of years, we changed already 3 countries.
Yes.
Okay. But that's because we had not yet found, we were 1 year in Peru, and we hadn't found a place to make a base. Now we have a couple of bases, you know, a couple of countries. So the point is, whatever it takes, do it. Just move around. You see, today what the devil is doing, in the name of defending the rights of the homosexual, they are brainwashing our children, starting them from early age in the government institutions, schools, kindergarten, etc. So it's like we cannot just be passive. And there was a heard about parents who went to complain in a kindergarten. They didn't want these little children to be trained about homosexuality, period. And so he complained so much, at the end they called the police and they had the guy arrested. Like they are saying, hey, your children are not yours, are mine, are ours. We are the officers, we are the state, and you shut up. Even under the Nazi was not as bad. Okay? You know, I tell you, Hitler was not as bad. I'm not saying he was not demon-possessed. I'm saying he was better than this. Oh, he fought a war and he killed the 6 million Jews. More, how many the Americans have killed? Just in Iraq, they killed 1 million civilians but through starvation and everything. Vietnam. I mean, I tell you, the Americans were worse than Hitler, because at least Hitler was a Nazi, supposedly he was, like a dictator, okay? He was for sure. The Americans, they have democracy, and they have so much Christianity and everything, so they are even more guilty. So anyway...
So then the message is that there is nothing you can do to change the world system. You have to just take it biblically that
change
you do.
Your world.
You do have to suffer for Christ and don't give up.
You cannot change your world.
You don't become passive.
You cannot. All these guys, even these churches preaching, we can change the world. It's a baloney. They're not going to change anything. The maximum they can change is the church and evangelizing the area. The world, they will not change.
Mm-hmm.
The world is going to become the Antichrist. In Revelation 13:3 says the whole world will follow the devil, the Antichrist, the whole world,
yeah.
Period. Only those are written in the book of the Lamb, Revelation 13:8. Not the book of the life, which you can be raised, Revelation 3:5. The book of the Lamb, which cannot be erased. Revelation 13:8 is different. There are two different books. Make sure you're in the right book, okay? So, basically, what we need to do is move out. Move out. You know, if you're in Germany, you don't go fight against Hitler. If you're in Russia, you don't go fight against Stalin. If you're in Cambodia, you don't go fight against Pol Pot. You just take off. Jesus said in Matthew 10, I think verse 23, he says, the persecuting one city, flee to another city. Just flee. That's your protection. Take off. You read in the gospel, Jesus was always, oftentimes, hiding, moving. He was hiding. Was he afraid? Of course, no. Either fights or runs away, leaves to fight another day. Runs and fight. That's how the Viet Cong communists overcame the mammoth American army, the highest technological army in the world. America lost in Vietnam because the Viet Cong, they were attacking and hiding. They were hiding all the time until the American, they felt like stupid and left.
So you're not a coward if you run away instead of remaining there and dying for your faith.
See, if you run away like Judas, betraying, of course you're a coward. Mm-hmm. But if you run away like Jesus, like Peter, like Paul, Paul invented the elevator in the book of Acts. It was going down in a basket. It was the first elevator in the Bible. Okay, no, that's no coward. You're a smart guy. So take your children, take off, leave. Okay, you don't go fight City Hall, you don't fight the mayor, you don't fight Obama, you don't fight the Antichrist, they control the police, the institutions, the army, forget it. I mean, these guys on the internet, you say, make sure you buy a gun, forget it, you don't need guns. What are you going to do, kill your enemy? We want to convert our enemies. Okay, so all this evil, it wouldn't happen if every true Christian, regardless of sect or denomination that they belong, would immediately stand up against this. I'm talking about the homosexuality, kindergarten, schools, mm-hmm. etc. See, all we have to do is lay aside all religious denominational differences, which are tricks of the enemy, and attack the devil system, and we will win because we have the truth, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the sword of the Spirit. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, the devil does it. The devil does not have a sword, we do.
What do you mean, attack the devil's system?
Well, first of all, you attack by receiving Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the baptism, and they go witnessing. And then get together with your church if you have a good church. If you have a dead church, get out. If you have a good church, a good pastor, which there are quite a few around, get together and do something, go evangelizing. It's like do something, like get soul saved, all right? Look, for example, an example. In America, these fast food workers went on strike. Okay, you know, Obama went on TV and said we should raise the wages.
You mean they got it made?
Obama went on TV and said we need to raise the wages. It's like I didn't follow much because, the main media doesn't cover this thing because they belong to the multinational. But what I'm saying, for Obama to go on TV and say you should raise the wages, he goes scared. So I think the Christian could do that if nothing else,
What, strike?
They could strike. Get together with 50 families and say, listen, in all this area here, the city, we have 50 families. Okay, 50 Christians who agree, you are Catholic, you are Protestants, you are Jehovah's Witness, whatever. Can we agree on something at least? Can we agree against homosexuality? Okay, so stop arguing about doctrines. Don't worry, the doctrines they will never get to perfection until Jesus comes back. So agree on something and say, let's strike. No more children in the garden. No more children to school. We don't send. We have 50 families, and tomorrow we will be 100 families. We don't send 100 families to school or to kindergarten. Strike until you stop teaching homosexuality. If we send them to school so you can teach them math, arithmetic, spelling, not because you teach them about lesbianism and sodomy. I mean, sexual education is not your business, a little bit. These are my children, I want to supervise, okay? They're not your children, they're mine. When anything happens to these children, I'm responsible. I have to pay for it, I have to go to the hospital with them, I have to take them to the mental institution, I have to do everything. You just wash your hands. You take your salary as a teacher and go home and watch TV. These children, they come to my house at night. It's going to be my problem and my blessing, and I have to supervise it. We are here, we are 20 family, 50 family, 100 family. It shouldn't be too difficult to put those guys together. A whole area, we don't send them to school if you don't take the homosexuality away. I mean, if you want to teach homosexuality, great. Then you have to teach also Christianity. You have to teach also about Jesus. You don't believe in Christianity? I don't believe in homosexuality. Is that okay with you? It's not okay? Good. So take them out. So just like the people going to strike, Christians should go on a strike. Loving strike. No breaking windows, burning cars. You know what happens? You make a manifestation, peaceful, and then the devil sends some infiltrators, provocateur, and they just go there, they pretend to be your friends, but all of a sudden they throw a Molotov cocktail against cars, against police, against windows, and the police, a lot of times police infiltrated, you know. Hmm. So the police get an excuse, oh, those guys are terrorists. So they send the army and beat them all up and stop the manifestation. Hmm. That's the trick, you know.
So how do you avoid that?
How do you avoid that? Loving strike. Don't go in the streets. Sit in your house.
So how do you strike then?
Well, simply don't send them to school.
Ah, okay. I'm trying to understand.
Don't go in the streets with banner and stuff, the devil infiltrates or whatever. You know, in America, they put up such a big police system that it would have been the jealousy and the envy of Hitler and Stalin put together. I mean, the police system they have in America right now, you can do whatever you want. You can do any manifestations. They're going to kill everybody they want. That's why they have so many FEMA camps ready, the new Auschwitz.
Yeah.
They have so many coffins stacked up by the millions. Can you imagine?
So you're not saying to go on the streets and manifest and protest? Because I was thinking, isn't that kind of like the worldly solution and fighting in the flesh? You're saying to stay home? And just have a spiritual strike,
Spiritual strike, yeah. So I don't send them to school. Mm. Get together, like, see if you can convince your whole town and say, we don't pay taxes. Why? You're using our money to finance abortions.
But that's illegal not to pay taxes.
Well, but if enough people stop, there's nothing they can do.
But isn't it biblical to do pay your taxes?
Yeah, it says in the Bible, Romans chapter 13, submit to the authority,
All right. The
worldly authority. But as long as it doesn't contradict the Bible. Understand, when they contradict the Bible, such as Daniel chapter 3, okay, and Daniel chapter, I think it's chapter 6, okay, Daniel in the lions and his three friends in the fire, they ended up. Because they had to worship a certain statue, they can only pray to the king, and that's unscriptural. You know, when something is unscriptural, you don't have to obey the ungodly Antichrist, okay? Like, if your leader is a Hitler, you don't have to obey. He will kill you, you die. I mean, what the Christian did for 300 years against the Roman Empire was that it was illegal. The law said you have to submit to the emperor. They said, well, we cannot worship the emperor. We submit, but we're not going to worship. And they said, well, if you don't worship, we're going to throw to the lions. And so they got thrown to the lions. They disobeyed authority. Mm-hmm. In Acts chapter 5, Peter disobeyed the Jewish authority. Really, should we obey you or God? We're going to obey God in Acts chapter 5. Okay. So it's like you submit to the authority, but only when these are don't get out of the boundaries. Understand? So
you're saying it's fine not to pay taxes if it's against the Bible?
It's fine not to pay taxes, of course. But you need to be a good number. If you're just one person, you get fined.
Exactly. Yeah.
You need to be, like, you have to put a whole town together.
United, yeah.
But it needs to be a loving demonstration. Loving. It's like when the Christian refused to worship the emperor, there was a loving strike. They went on strike. You can strike against anything. They striked against worshiping the emperor. You understand? Mm-hmm. And when you are enough, there's nothing they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they threaten everything, but there's nothing they can do. They're not going to come to your house and kill you because you didn't go to work. They can't do that. They're not going to drag you to work. There's no way you can do that. That's how the communist system collapsed in Poland and in Russia. They just went on strike, and what are you going to do? In Poland, the Solidarność, I remember, is like they were going on strike in Gdansk. I was there in Gdansk preaching the gospel. They were preaching Lech Wałęsa, who became the president later. He was a leader of our unions. They were going on strike. They were fighting against communists by going on strike. And what can they do? They couldn't send the tanks against the workers. the communist was the political party of the workers. They couldn't go shoot the workers. So they lost. So basically, when you go on a strike, the ungodly world is terrorized. It paralyzes the ungodly system. Christians worldwide could use it and should use it. Are they going to use it? I doubt it. Why? Because they are sleeping. Because they're not listening to God. I mean, the number one thing, they should have gone evangelizing. They didn't do it. They should have converted the Muslims. They should have converted the Obama. They should have converted those antichrist, ungodly, agnostic, atheist member of Congress in the United States. They didn't. So now the only thing they're going to do is going to strike. But is that going to bring the solution? Of course not. That would be just a first step in the right direction. Then after that, they should get up from the church benches where many of us Christians are sleeping Sunday morning, and go evangelize it. Will it happen? According to the prophecies, no.
Now, didn't you say earlier that we cannot change the world system and the world laws because anyway they're prophesied and they will come to pass? So what's the point of all the striking if we cannot change the laws?
The point is that you save a lot of your children from being brainwashed in the sodomy homosexual doctrines, evolution doctrines, and that you can demand Christian teachers. They should go on a strike and say, we don't send our children to your school. Why? Because 100% of your teachers are atheists. How come the Christians are not represented? The teacher is a Buddhist. The other teacher is an agnostic. The other teacher is an atheist. And the other 99 are the same. So, excuse me, if you can have agnostics and atheists, you should also have Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you teaching about evolution? Yeah, you should teach also about Christianity. You don't have to make it compulsory, mandatory. You can make it voluntary. We're not trying to force the atheists to believe. God is not trying to do that. People who want to go to hell, they can go. It's a very respectable thing to respect people who want to go to hell. I mean, I believe in that. They don't have to believe. Okay, so that's it. So.
Amen.
You know, all the workers in the USA have been deprived of unions. You know, the unions leaders, they're being bought off at a cheap price by the corporations. Okay, corporations, they bought off, they've been buying the media, the politicians, the union leaders, the big money guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why there's no unions, you know. So basically what you have to organize yourself. Don't wait for some unions to come and tell you what to do. Like, if the mammoth, the religious system, doesn't want to move, then let the little churches do it. Let the little people, the little pastors, people like us. Okay, it's like the whole world, with all the big armies, big violent police, they have no defense and no answer to strike. If you're going to strike, there is nothing they can do. Nothing. Zero. Just don't go around the streets with banner breaking windows.
Yeah.
You don't want to, but some provocateur, they will infiltrate you and will do that. So the police says, okay, these guys pretend to be Christian. They're actually terrorists. Attack them. So stay home and just read the Bible. But you need to be at least, start 50 families, then 100 families, 200 families. Eventually, it will grow. Okay, see, right now the devil has the United States in his pocket, like the school system, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So do something. Don't you see that the devil, Sodom and Gomorrah, USA, is taking over? All right, so it's organized in the grassroots. Do these things. Whatever we have at heart, whatever law is bothering us, whatever is against the love of Christ, strike against it. But is this going to happen in America? It's not going to happen.
Well, it's very hard to unite so many Christians to actually have an effect like this.
I mean, Obama went on TV and I heard when he said that, said we need to give a rise to these guys in the fast food. Why? He was scared to death about the strike. Why? The multinationals are scared. They're losing money. You know, they will pretend that they don't want, but they do care. Because if it spreads, then everybody wants a raise. So they prefer to lose a few billion dollars than to start raising the price. But eventually they give in. But it's not going to happen because there are not many pastors who wake up, the Christian. And then after the strike, we go back to sleep. No, we go evangelize. Is it going to happen? I don't think it's going to happen. So we should strike about everything. Strike from sending children to kindergarten, from sending them to school. Strike against paying taxes to finance abortion. Strike from financing the money people, the money boys, the banks, and the government to finance wars and to achieve the world hegemony. Strike against anything that is anti-God, which the world, the system, pushes unlawfully. Strike against watching the devil's TV. In other words, don't watch the TV. Ignore it. Mm-hmm. Strike against anything the devil tries to impose of you. Do you understand?
Amen. Now, the first step to arrive to this point, to the strike, is, like you said, to unite many Christians between themselves. How can this be accomplished?
Yeah, you just have to talk to your neighbor, to your church, the other church, the next church, and the other church. The pastor of a city should get together. Okay, but they're not going to do that. They're too busy preaching against each other. They're too busy preaching the devil's gospel against each other. They're hating the other denomination because they don't believe in the Sabbath, or because they do, because they believe in this doctrine, or because they don't. You should get all these square heads together and make it look like more like the body of Christ. Oh, but the guy is preaching false doctrine. Okay, but does he believe in Jesus as a Savior? Well, yes. Okay, just go with that. You know, there's so many things I disagree with my wife, and she disagrees with me. But you know what? The love of Christ, it makes us work together, live together, love together, forgive one another. And we continue, and we can say we are pretty much happy.
Amen.
She is not my photocopy, and there are many things I do different than her. I mean, differences, they go to every level, even to you, between brothers and sisters, in a family. But praise God, we are a family pretty united here. I have 6 children. We have a fairly acceptable unity. We all read the Bible. We all sing together in our house. We all go witnessing. I mean, all together with you and other brethren.
Amen.
We do have an acceptable level of unity.
Amen.
So we should just belong to the denomination of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not my denomination of yours. That will solve all the problem. Oh, but you are not perfect as me. Your doctrines are not as good as mine. Okay, but do you believe in Jesus, your only Savior? Then come on, let's start from there. Yeah, but we disagree on the Trinity. Okay. I use more water than you in the baptism. Okay, we survive that.
Amen.
I mean, the Lutheran, they baptize exactly the same way that the Catholic do. Can we forgive the Catholic, and then in heaven we'll find out what kind of water, how much water they have up there?
So in other words, we Christians, we get lost in splitting the doctrinal hair.
Yeah.
Instead of uniting, fighting against the devil.
Yes.
Fight against each other.
Yes, the devil is uniting us to fight against each other. Instead, we should unite against him. We are fighting against each other instead of against the devil.
While he advances, yeah.
Boy, Christians are fighting against the other Christian because he has a different water baptism.
It's true.
Hey, the devil is on the other side. Guess what?
He's enjoying it.
let's not be stupid and wake up.
Yeah, it's true.
Amen? So see, history shows that every violent revolution eventually brings about a worse regime. I'm not advocating violence. I know there are many, especially in the United States, say, oh, go buy guns. We need guns before they forbid it. You know, I never owned a gun. In the army, I had a gun. Sometimes machine gun, sometimes different kind. But it's like, apart from the military, I never owned a gun, and I don't want one. Why? I don't want to kill my enemies. I want to convert them. Why in the world you want to get these guns to kill who? Look what happened in Waco in the United States. They had all kinds of guns. They used to call them the Davidians, I think. So, what kind of guns, this and that. They tried to defend themselves, and the Antichrist went there. They burned them alive. They burned them. This was only 100 people who died burned, children and all. Those demon-possessed authority.
They were Christians?
They were Christians. They were a sect. I mean, I didn't study exactly what kind of Christian they were. They believe in weapons. They have some, you know, funny doctrine, weird doctrines, you know, and stand away kind of away from the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctrine, I'm going to judge. I heard all kinds of weird things against them.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, they were just alone. They were already living like the Great Tribulation. Don't come near, we have guns.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a little bit out of this world. But you see, they tried to resist with guns. And that's the point I'm trying to make. And most of them got killed. In fact, burned alive. Okay, whoever survived, they were so scared to death. And they put so much pressure on them that they were afraid to say one word after that. See, that's what the police will do.
Hmm.
The devil is the god of this world. So let's stay small. Let's stay scattered. Let's not get too organized in this big mammoth church where the devil comes and takes control. Okay?
Amen.
So the devil will not be able to infiltrate his false leaders among us and keep the church under naphtalene, sleeping, understand?
Yes.
Praise God. So don't worry about guns. Don't worry about the arm of the flesh. Don't worry about violent revolution. Don't worry about killing your enemies. God will save us. Can you read the scripture, Zechariah 4:6?
Yes.
God bless you. Praise God.
Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts."
Okay, not by might, not by power, not by guns, not by flesh, not by money, by my spirit. God has to give us the victory.
It's true.
All right? So God is calling us to arms, spiritual arms, to fight in the spirit. All right?
Yes.
So basically, look, let me. 1 Timothy 6:12, look.
Okay. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
So fight the good fight.
Amen.
Amen. Lay hold on eternal life. So a Christian, they're not called to sit down and sing. Oh, definitely we can sit down every day.
Yeah.
And definitely we should sing to God. But then that cannot be all we're doing. I'm sure God enjoys our singing, but that's all we are doing. Then Jesus didn't say go into all the world and be singers.
Yeah.
Singing is one part. Reading the Bible, hearing the Bible. Well, you need to go fight. Paul said in, I think it was Romans 12, or Hebrews 12, one of those two, he said, you are not resisted unto blood, fight against sin.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Hebrews 12, right?
Yes, Hebrews 12.
So it says, you have not resisted unto blood. See, until we shed our blood, we cannot say we did enough. Sitting on a bench is not shedding blood. It's maybe shedding yawnings because I heard this sermon so many times. We need to change the pastors. This pastor is not exciting us. Oh, I went to another church the other day. Oh, you know, the pastor there, he can tell the best jokes.
Hmm.
It really makes you laugh. Oh, then I went to another church, you know. It was such a beautiful show. Oh, beautiful singer, the best singers in the world. But you see, Christianity has become a show. We are not supposed to go watch a show in a church. We are the show. We are the martyrs. We are the witness. Anybody who says I'm a witness for Christ is a liar unless he gives his life for it and ready for it. Because in Greek, you cannot say it's like a witness when witnessing. Because it's the same word. The word witness means martyr. Okay, a martyr when martyr. It's like you couldn't be a witness for Jesus if you were not martyr or willing to be a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So praise God. Look, let me give you a scripture. 2 Timothy 4:2.
Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching.
Okay? So that's what we have to do. It's like preach and preach and preach and preach the word.
Amen.
Okay, preach the word. Fight the good fight of faith. God is calling us to arms. He's calling us to fight in the spirit. It's a call to all of our dear brethren. We're into the prosperity gospel. God loves me, give me money. God loves me, give me a car. God loves me, give me a swimming pool. God loves me, give me a beautiful villa. God loves me. Give me a boat. But excuse me. There are people going to hell. You're here. You're thinking how much money you have. God loves you. Go preach the gospel. God loves us. Let's go. Say, give salvation to the lost. God loves us. Let's spend our life for the salvation of others. God loves us. Let's go to the sinners and let them know that there is a salvation. God loves us. Let's sell our house and get a smaller one so we can use the money to evangelize. You don't have to send it to me. Don't worry. You spend it. I know I'm not in this business for your money, buddy. Spend your money. Go on the street and spend it for you so you can finance your gospel work.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, just finance a missionary. God bless the ones who do help and support us. Don't get me wrong. But financing a missionary doesn't get us off the hook. Okay, because missionary is not mercenary, and God is not a mercenary. You cannot just pay God to get off the hook. God expects you and me to be martyrs, witnesses. Not just, we are not here to pay. That's what America is doing. They are paying the soldiers to go fight the battle.
It's true.
And since America switched into a mercenary army, they're losing every war. They lost the Vietnam War, which was a draft war, because it was a wrong war. And they lost all the following wars because they are paying mercenary. Mercenary is not going to go fight a war to die for your country.
Because they don't have conviction.
He's going to go there to fight for money.
Yeah.
He's not there. Yeah, you try to kill as many as possible, but when he's a little dangerous, he will go there like the American soldier did in Iraq. Rape a bunch of women, there were even a bunch of gays, it turned out. A bunch of gay American gay soldier raped a bunch of male men, Muslims. So they're just making the world so hating them. And these guys, who will go to in the army for money? Thugs, mercenary, for the most part. There are some idealistic, but very few. They take away the salary, they don't go. That means they go for the salary. Salaried, it means mercenary, you understand? So praise God.
So then the message is, tell me if I understood right, is that the way to fight against the injustices against Christians, which are happening in many countries, is to pray for your enemies, is to love your enemies, try to evangelize them and convert
them. Don't
look
for guns.
And try to convert your enemies.
Right.
But in the same time, don't just stay passive and let them step all over you and bring you into their unlawfulness and their ungodliness, you and your children, but stand up for the Bible and kind of protect your children and yourself by striking in the spirit,
not violently, but in the spirit. Don't go to a kindergarten and say, I want you to change your homosexual teaching. They're not going to do that because the devil is in control. You have to fight in the spirit like Jesus did. Get organized. So the idea of making strikes in a whole neighborhood is an idea, but you're not going to get anywhere just with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gandhi, he went on a strike, and by strikes, peaceful strikes, it was against violence, he kicked the British out of India.
Amazing.
I remember when I was in India, they were still talking about that. He went on a strike many times. Eventually, the British had to leave because of his pacific resistance. Okay, but that is not the goal. India is back again to Hinduism.
It's true.
Eventually, you have to jump from the striking, like what Gandhi was doing in India, into evangelization. Of course, the India didn't do that. That's why now they're back to square one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm saying that the Christian could strike against the homosexuality in the school, evolution, and a bunch of other stuff. But don't stop there. Otherwise, you start a new Christian political party, which is not going to get anywhere because immediately the devil will infiltrate it with the Christians in quotes, which is after the power and the money. So you end up to nothing. So anything that doesn't go toward the gospel. So whatever you do, whether you're on a strike or whatever they say to do, that's kind of in the flesh a little bit. But if you're going to strike, you better be loving and loving and loving.
Amen.
It will succeed if you're loving, and you know, if you don't go on the streets.
Amen.
With the signs, blah,
because
blah.
Because God will bless it.
God will bless it. But remember, if once they take the homosexuality away from your school, and they will if you do something. Okay, if you say, listen, I have not an objection if the teacher so-and-so is a Hindu or Buddhist or the other guy is a Muslim, the guy is an atheist, nothing against that. But we also want some Christians. Because in our schools, there are 100 children, okay? Of these, so many, 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60, they say they're Christian family. Mm-hmm. We want 60% of Christian teachers.
Amen.
So we don't want to offend the atheists. You can have a class for the atheists if you want. We don't want to offend the Muslims. You can have a class for the Muslims. We don't want to offend the people who believe in UFO or extraterrestrial. You can have a class for that.
Wow.
So I make it voluntarily, so the Christian not forced to go listen to the Muslim and the atheist. The atheist not forced to go listen to the Christian. Make it voluntary, but we want this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Obama says that the America is not a Christian country, is also Hindu, Muslim, etc., fine. You can have that kind of teacher, but we also want Christian teacher because America is true that also Hindu and Buddhist, but it's true also that it's mostly Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so we expect to have teachers mostly Christian until when you decide to put a good percentage. Make an investigation, say, here when we have 100 students, how many Hindu? 3%, 3% teachers, Hindus. How many atheists? 50%, 50% atheist teachers. Amen. How many Christians? 49%, 51%. We want 51% Christians. So put your foot down and say, we don't want to force you to become Christian, but you don't force us or our children to become homosexual or atheist.
That's good.
You put your foot down.
That's good, when you
win the battle, don't go to sleep there. Okay? So then after that, you need to start evangelizing. Don't you see how the Muslims go around distributing the Quran? Don't you see how the atheists go around putting banners on the bus? There is no God.
Yes.
I hate God,
yes,
etc. For God's sake. You know, you don't need to spend money on buses if you don't want to, but go on the streets. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons do. Okay, they have their own doctrine. So what? You, with the right doctrine, go and do better than they. As it is now, these guys are teaching you how to evangelize. Okay, I heard somebody saying, I don't want to go door to door because that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing. I said, what? Guess what? The Jehovah's Witnesses are drinking water. They go to sleep at night and they pay tax to the government and they wash their face and their feet in the morning. I'm not going to do that. The Jehovah's Witnesses are doing that. You must understand. So let's do it and we'll win. So evangelize after.
Amen.
As soon as you get a victory, go evangelizing.
That's good.
Okay, the police says you cannot evangelize here. There is a university. Okay, just go to the next street. That's what I did all my life. I never went to a policeman and said, excuse me, Mr. Policeman, can I evangelize here? No. Okay, I'm sorry for asking. Goodbye. No. You wait until the police leaves. And the police doesn't want you to distribute Christian literature. You wait until he leaves. Because he is wrong. You know, I remember I used to evangelize in Rome. It was, 1978. I was evangelizing in Rome, and I was distributing Christian literature, 1977 in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And a traffic warden came, a street police, said, you cannot distribute this. The guy thought I was distributing politician stuff.
Uh-huh.
I said, but even then, it shouldn't be forbidden. And I said, well, no, you need permission for this. You have to go to the city hall. But there is freedom. No, you cannot do this. So I had to stop. So then I meditated on it. I said, this is ridiculous. So I went in a library and I searched about the Italian Constitution. I found in the back of a book, there was one page with 12 points, all the Italian Constitution summed up in 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I photocopied that. There was one said that it's guaranteed by the Constitution that anybody can spread their idea in any way they want, as long as it's not violent, it's not, etc. So I photocopied that, I stuck it inside my Bible. And I went in the back of the street. You know, guess what? Another policeman came again. He came and said, you cannot do this. But excuse me, this is just Christian. Christian, whatever, you cannot do this. I said, can I show you respectfully? Look, bang, open my Bible. So look what it says here. Article number says, it's perfectly lawful and it's granted by the Constitution for every citizen to distribute, to spread the idea by written, by audio, by TV. I say, excuse me. The guy read, his eyes went kind of, uh-oh. He turned around and walked away. And I happily continue witnessing and distributing literature. So in other words, if the police stops you from evangelizing, he's wrong. But don't make a big deal. Just wait until he leaves and go to the next street. Because you know
exactly,
you have a right.
Yes.
He doesn't know. Because today, you know, the Antichrist has taken control of the United States. You know, the place where that's something the Lord showed me. I don't know. I haven't checked anywhere. But I imagine it's true. Because of the violence there is in the police around. I say, God, why? That's what I got. Because the Lord showed me that the Antichrist has taken control of the offices, most offices in the United States, where they recruit the police. And they are recruiting them. They do some subliminal interview. And everybody who's Christian, they reject. And they accept anybody who's violent, anybody who's bully, anybody who's into bodybuilding, anybody is into everything, atheist, whatever, as long as it's not Christian. Okay, and that's why the police in America becoming worse than the Gestapo in Germany. Worse than the Gestapo in Germany.
So
because at least in Germany, they're persecuting the Jews, which was bad enough. In America, they're persecuting just about everybody. You understand?
So by your story, when somebody stops you, the authorities, they stop you from evangelizing, it doesn't mean you have to submit and stop evangelizing with the excuse, well, they don't allow me, so I just go home and I stop witnessing. No, you have to submit to the authority, otherwise they arrest you, but go and find a way to continue preaching the gospel.
Even if they are wrong, you have to
like
submit.
Like in the spirit, you still stand up.
Yeah, exactly. Even if they are wrong, just you cannot argue with somebody who has a gun for more than one reason. Okay, so find a way to get around it.
What happened to me in Italy, something similar, I was singing Christian songs on the street with a guitar, evangelizing people. But it so happened I was doing it in front of the police station. So this policeman came out.
And you were a foreigner in Italy.
I was a foreigner. The policeman told me, you cannot do this on the streets. You cannot evangelize here, talk about Jesus. So the only thing I knew what to do was evangelism. So I evangelized him. I talked to him about Jesus. And it happened that he actually was one of God's sheep.
Thank
and he opened
God.
His heart and he received a message.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then he told me, why don't you take your guitar, go around the corner over there, and I pretend I didn't see you. And I went over there, and it was in plain center, the center of the city. It was much better over
there.
It
was much better.
So I blessed him.
Like you didn't know it was a police station, right?
Well, I didn't really pay attention. I just kept doing my thing.
Yeah.
Because I evangelized everywhere.
Understand that.
God will always bless you standing up for him. When you do his will, God will find ways to protect you. God will send the right people in your way, and he will bless your attempts to evangelize.
Right. It's like every time I'm in trouble, I start talking about Jesus Christ. First of all, I get rid of the devils. Once you get rid of the devils, I tell you, that's already half of the victory.
Amen.
Because you are facing now just the unbeliever authority. Many times I go in problem with when I was crossing borders, especially in Eastern Europe, Hungary, Romania, over there. And sometimes I got in real trouble in the border. I just a witness about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I mean, that's our forte.
It's true.
And so...
Often they pray to receive Jesus.
Yeah, often they pray to receive Jesus. I remember in the border with Poland. We even took some pictures. And they were kind of bothering us. We went in just in the power of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, with the love of Jesus. We don't speak churchy language, okay? We don't go and say, repent, blah, blah.
Come to my church.
Be baptized in water. No, be baptized in love, in the Holy Jesus, Holy Spirit. No, not at all. Just we make friends with people because people don't like religion. If they like religion, they become religious. That's why they become atheists, because religiosity today is such a garbage. The world doesn't need garbage religion. They need Jesus Christ, his love. I mean, the first thing I do when I witness, you know me for many years, the first thing I do is I blast religion.
Yes.
I say, good morning, where are you, this and that, et cetera, et cetera. And then say, listen, we're not religious, and we think the religion is mostly politics.
Mm-hmm.
I say, oh, I agree with that. Oh, good, they shake hands. Can we talk? Definitely, let's talk.
It's true.
And that's how they get saved. That's how they receive the Holy Spirit. That's how they receive Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, it's almost like a rule without exception. I mean, without exception, every time, except sometimes I talk to a priest or, some ecclesiastical authority, then I try to win his heart, calm down a little, okay? You know, you have to be Jew to the Jew, Catholic to the Catholic, and Protestant to the Protestant, okay?
Amen.
But, and then once you pay the tax of becoming one, speaking the language, then I pull out Jesus Christ. I pull out my faith. I pull out the Word, the Bible. It works always.
Amen.
Because as soon as people hear you're not religious, they that's so relaxed, that's so refreshing. You're not trying to change me from a Catholic into Protestants or vice versa. No. As I said, you can remain in religion. I said, God loves all the believers, all religions are more or less the same. They're all bad. Here we are here to lift up Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I want to say this. Let's not hope that any government will help us. Most governments in the world, I think just about all of them, they're taking the direction of the devil, direction against God. There are some Christians in the government here and there. Okay, but like most of them, they just worship the devil, really. I mean, in America, now they worship the devil openly, all right? Sodomy, and God is officially excommunicated from schools, government, etc. Oh, they have a little on God we trust, blah, blah, blah. If you notice, it's written on the dollar bill. In other words, it's the dollar God that they really trust. So don't wait, don't hope for any help from the government. And here is an important message. Prepare to survive without the help of the laws. Unite with other Christian brethren, with the good pastors. There are good pastors around.
Amen.
Okay? Unite with the good churches. Get out of the bad churches. okay, unite with them. You know, those believers who see these things, who have eyes opened, they're not just there singing themselves to sleep every Sunday morning. Okay, keep in mind that there are very few churches that see this truth and are willing to prepare for it. You must prepare, beloved. Prepare because if you complain about what's happening now, soon the Antichrist is coming. Soon the tribulation is coming. Soon the mark of the beast is coming. And all these Christians, when they will see, all these Christians who are hoping, who have believed the false prophets or the rapture before the tribulation, when they will see that not the rapture, but the Antichrist, not Christ, but the Antichrist, no heaven, mm-hmm. but the tribulation, no comfortable living in heaven, but the mark of the beast, they're going to lose faith. They're going to think, oh, there is no God. Why would God allow me to be deceived? Well, dummy, God didn't allow you to be deceived. You were so lazy, you didn't study the Bible, you were just warming up a bench, listening to whoever had the microphones, never checking the Bible, always parrot, yes, yes, you're right, whatever you say, you are my God, my pastor, etc. You go to the Bible. If you go in the book of Acts, it says that in the book of Acts, Paul was preaching a church. They were checking every day to see if these things be so. Okay? So I think it was the church of Berea.
Yes.
So every day they were checking the Bereans,
yes.
Paul, if these things were so. I think it says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they were checking every day to see if these things be so.
Mm-hmm.
The church of Berea. Okay, so we have to check.
Amen.
I don't want you to check something just because I said. You don't have to take my word. I've been wrong many times. So if I'm wrong when I'm telling you to believe Jesus, not anybody else, well, forgive me. I just don't think I'm wrong. I think you should believe Jesus. Don't believe me. Go to the Bible, check if I'm right. The point is not for me to be right. Who cares about me? I don't give nothing about me. I'm here to lift up Jesus, not my church, not my doctrine. So the point is here, prepare to survive what's coming, beloved. See if the Lord tells you to stay and fight where you are, if the Lord tells you to move out.
Mm-hmm.
If your neighborhood doesn't cooperate with you, change the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
If your country is so weird, change country. I change continent. I came here, this I tell you. Compared to the pressure, the spiritual oppression in Europe, we are here in South America, it's like heaven on earth. So relaxing.
Yeah.
Life is even cheaper here. People are so much more sheepier, sweeter, friendlier, godlier.
It's true.
Right? Can you testify that?
Yes, I can. Every day we meet special people, and it's wonderful to evangelize here. But like you said, it's because we didn't just stay in Europe saying, well, that's how it is, the Antichrist is coming. Well, we wait for the rapture, and what can we do? Nothing. No, do your part.
Yeah.
Do your part, God will do the rest.
If you're in a good church, you have a good pastor, a good Philadelphia pastor who preaches the Bride of Christ, give him a hand, lift up his arms,
amen.
Like Moses, and then you'll overcome the Amalekites.
Yes.
Okay, and give a hand to your pastor if he's a... You know, if your pastor is not like that, he just wants your donation Sunday morning, change church, find a Philadelphia church, a church where they're interested in you, a church where they share the money with the brethren, not just to buy a better car or a better building, okay? So if you see in the Bible, it says all the believers together, Acts 2:44-45, the other things in common, and share they sold the possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So in our church we do it. We share our money here according to whatever everybody needs here. So you have to find a church where the money is shared with the brethren, not to make another building.
A building, amen.
You cannot eat it. I mean, there are brethren to pay for a building that they don't even have enough money to pay for the rent, they have to pay for your building. That's ridiculous. That they're not building in the Bible. In the Bible, there's no building. The only building you should spend money is the living building, the brethren who have needs. All the money collected in the church, first of all, is for the good of the brethren, whatever they need. Okay, and there should be a lot of extra. And then after that, finance the gospel. That's what we do here. First of all, the money we eat. We pay the rent. It's not much, the rent. We eat, and then the rest is all in the gospel. Yeah, nobody has a personal bank account, nobody. And that's the way a true church should be. And there are many churches like ours. Just find them. I'm not saying I'm just Mr. Goody-Goody, we're the only one. No, there are churches better than ours.
Amen.
Okay, just look around, find it. They're not that many.
No, but you can evangelize and you make your own church. That's what you did, Brother Joseph. You evangelized and you made your own church and you continue doing it. This week, we went on the street evangelize and we meet wonderful people. And this is how you make a church. You evangelize on the radio, on YouTube. But I like very much what you said, and I want to emphasize that. Just do your part and God will do the rest. Just take one step for Jesus against the injustices you see. And don't just let them convert you to homosexuality and to ungodliness.
Or your children.
Or your children. But do something about it and you will see miracles. God is not just going to sit there passive while you're fighting. Oh, he will do miracles. It's going to be wonderful. If you want to see great things, just take one step for Jesus. Do it.
Amen, amen, amen.
Our Lord is just waiting on us. Yesterday, Brother Joseph gave us a message here in the community among us. We were praying and hearing from the Lord. And you said, Brother Joseph, that we are not here waiting for God to move. He is waiting for us to move. He's waiting for us to stand up and become active and do things for him. And he will realize wonderful things through us.
Yeah, it's wrong to pray, God, help me to do this. God, bless me with that. God, help me to be healed. God, help me to go witnessing. God, cast out this devil. It's wrong. It's wrong. God is turning around and saying, I sent all this power. I sent all this healing. I sent all the finances. I sent every blessing you need from 2,000 years ago. Now the problem is on your side. The problem is not that heaven is clogged up, nothing comes out. Mm-hmm. The problem is on the receiving end. Instead of praying, God, help me to be healed. Help this person to be healed. What do you mean? It doesn't get healed. God didn't help. Three people get healed and six don't get healed because God respects our person. A few received it and a few don't receive it. It depends on their faith.
Yeah.
You understand? So God sent everything we need. In fact, it says, before they call, I will answer. Before
yes.
they call, I will answer. God yeah. sent the... God said what we need before we ask. So right now the problem is not, God, please help us to go witnessing. Please help me to be delivered. Please cast out this devil. Please help this person to be healed. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Lord, you should pray. Lord, help me to receive my healing. Lord, help me to open my heart. It's clogged up, stuck, all right, with sin, with selfishness, with unbelief. God, help me to believe. God, help me to open up. God, help me to heal this person in your name, Jesus.
Amen.
God,
Amen.
Thank you for providing the finances. No, you send the money we need for the rent. We don't have the money for the rent. Thank you for sending it. Now, help us to take it.
Amen. Amen.
You know, one of the greatest men in the world ever, his name is Müller. He's a German who had was taking care of thousands of orphans. He never went around asking anybody anything. He was taking care of 2,000 orphans. And the people knock on the door. Hey, yes, we have a bunch of bread here. Can I give it to you? One day they called him Müller, and he was in his orphanage. And they came and said, sir, there is no breakfast. I said, okay. So it were 2,000 orphans. I said, okay, tell the children to grade. He said, sir, there is no food. He said, tell the children to get ready for breakfast. Okay, we obey. So bring them all in the dining room and tell them to start praying for the food and thank the Lord for the food. I said, okay. So 2,000 children moved into the dining room, empty, just dishes and silverware. They were sitting there. Just before they finished praying for the food, there was a knock on the door. And this happened more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be sometimes said, excuse me, we were just driving by, sorry, an accident, and a wheel broke.
That was the milk car.
Yeah,
it was a truck full of milk.
Remember? The tire broke, and cannot change it because the truck is so full of milk.
He said, can you do me a favor and take the milk?
Can you please take the milk? And the guy and Will said, praise God, and bread, and food. See, God provided 2,000 orphans. I can testify. I've been this month in May. I've been 41 years in the Lord's service. I never skipped a meal because the Lord didn't provide. Never had any debt. Never didn't have money for the rent. Never lacked anything. Oh, there was time, my early years, I was preaching the gospel here in South America, Venezuela, hitchhiking. I think it was 1979.
Mm-hmm.
We were evangelizing from island to island, the Antilles. And we were hitchhiking even on boats, from boat to boat hitchhiking to convince the captain. And we were paying our ticket by singing Christian songs. Okay, yeah, but we didn't care about cars those days. But then when we need a car, I remember I came back from India and I was going around, no money, zero. Came back from India, was broke, boy. And so I was preaching the gospel by foot. So the money, well, you have nothing to do, you go witnessing. And you come back, the Lord provided the food, always. So I remember I went to a shop and this guy was selling car. I mean, I was praying for a car. And I yelled to the guy inside, I said, hey, do you have a missionary car? And the guy said, what? It's a missionary car. I said, I don't understand. Come in. He thought it was a customer.
Mm-hmm.
So sit down. So I sit down and say, what do you need? Well, I'm looking for a missionary car, you know, like, what is that? He thought it was a brand. So, well, so I just pull out some photos. Look, this is my work. I've been in India, etc. I'm evangelizing, right and left. I said, that's very interesting. He said, wow, I like your job, this and that. So I pray with the guy for the Lord to bless him, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, he pray. So he said, look, I have a friend. I'm going to send to my friend. I'm a small guy here. So he sent me to the biggest car dealer of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And he phoned the guy. The guy was waiting for me. See, okay. So I showed my work. I had a few pictures, some photos I carry by my work in India. And he goes, I like what you're doing. You come with me. So he took me to a basement. There were some 50 cars. You can pick the one you like.
Wow.
Okay, it's a second-hand car. Oh. So he said, I don't care about the model. I want something strong. So he said, okay, I suggest for you a Citroën because it has a hydraulic shock absorber. You know, you can load the much more.
Okay.
And so I took this car, and that's the car I came to your country. I went to Serbia, Romania, and Hungary. You are half Hungarian and half Romania.
So, thank you, Lord.
And that was wonderful. So that's just to tell you how God provides for our needs. Mm-hmm. Amen? So, brethren, lift up your eyes unto heaven. Lift up your eyes unto the stars.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, count the stars if you can. If you can count the stars, you'll be able to count the blessings God has for you.
Yes.
Okay, because God, He created the mountains full of gold, full of silver. He created the cattle on 1,000 hills. He
Amen.
Created the fish of the sea. Do you think He doesn't have a fish for you, or you of little faith, or me of little faith?
Amen.
I mean, Jesus was going to run. He healed the multitudes. There was no one who came out sick out of Egypt. So no one. They were all healed. I think He's not going to heal you and me. We just need a little faith. Sometimes we don't receive it. Every time I did not receive healing, it was because either I didn't have faith or I didn't believe enough, but it's not because God didn't provide. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
Praise God.
That was nice.
Anything else for you?
No, I appreciate very much what you said.
Okay.
And I think lots of Christians can pray against this intimidation from the world system, like the ungodly laws that they're imposing on them. Just pray against the intimidation and don't let the giants in the land scare you. Just stand up for Jesus and remember that we are His hands, His feet, His eyes, His mouth, and God will do miracles through you.
Yeah.
Through little you, He will do it.
Yeah. And don't pray for small things. Pray big.
Amen.
Pray for dead to be raised. Pray for cancer to be healed. Pray for your sick finances to resurrect.
Amen, yes.
And most of all, pray that your heart is fully for Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray that your mind is all for God. Okay, pray that our time is number one to reach the lost sheep.
Thank you,
So in
Lord.
Other words, first prayer shouldn't be, God, give me money. God, give me a car. God, give me a wife. Give me a husband. Give me this. Give me. My name is a big bag. You know, the first prayer should be, God, show me how I can love you. Jesus, show me how I can serve you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I'm good for nothing. What can I do for you? Lord Jesus, I'm good for nothing. I'm hateful. I'm revengeful. I have bitterness. Cleanse me from these demonic spirits. That's our prayer.
Amen.
Jesus, show me how to serve you. Show me how to love you. I want to be part unworthy of your bride. Accept me as part of your bride, but teach me how to be a good bride, submitted, obedient. No, a sterile bride who just sings songs like musicians. And you didn't say go to the world to be musicians and be singers. Singing we should do,
mm-hmm.
but not leave it the other undone. Who wants to marry a wife that just sings every once a week? Would you like to marry a husband? Comes to you once a week and sing a song.
No, thank you.
He sings to you for an hour. And then look at the watch and say, uh-oh, you're getting late. Ciao, ciao, God. Ciao, ciao, wife, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Or to me, ciao, ciao, husband. Who wants a wife like that? Who wants a wife that, you know, I'm hungry, I want to eat, instead of making some good bacon and egg, she goes to sing a song and they say, goodbye, see you next week. Well, God's bacon and egg is our work. God's service to go reach the lost. God's service, thank God somebody reached me and you.
Amen.
Okay, thank God. That's our, okay?
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. No, together. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We love you, Jesus. Together. We
love you, Jesus. We do. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen, praise Lord. Bless God. Our brethren.
Write to us, brethren. Keep writing. God bless the ones who write and send these inspiring emails. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We love you all, dear brethren. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I can hear Jesus saying, I love you, my beloved children. Come to me. I'll always be here. I'll always be with you. There is nothing that can hurt you. I am your protection. I am your guidance. I am your Alpha. I am your Omega. I am your beginning. I am your end. And I am your blessing. And I am your bridegroom. And you are my bride. I love you.
Thank you, Jesus.